Habari za na karibu nyote. That is Swahili, or Kiswahili, the language of the people of Kenya. And it's in East Africa. And these, well, us seven-person team just spent some time in that part of the world a month ago. It's amazing. It's been a month already. But basically, Habari za na karibu sana nyote is good morning, y'all. And you're most welcome for being here this morning. You are most welcome indeed to this 2022 Liberty School visit presentation. As many of you may recall, on Sunday, June 19th, we were commissioned by this congregation to go to Kitale, Kenya, and visit our mission partner, Liberty School. Well, thanks be to God, we all came back safely and excited to share and present to you our experiences while we were there. So this morning, we'll share with you the brief history of the partnership that we have with Liberty School, and we'll share with you also the purpose of our visit, as well as the journey that we took to get there, and we'll share about the school itself, which we are in partnership with. We'll talk about the challenges that they have, as well as the successes that they're having, and the opportunities that they offer us. And so some of you are probably thought, oh my gosh, this is one of those, you know, watching picture of somebody's summer vacation. This is not it. This is more important than that. This is something that we as a congregation have committed to do and to be in partnership, and it is worthwhile for us to report and share with you what exactly is going on there. So before you glaze your eyes and just fall asleep for the next however minute, take notice that this is important stuff. That's why we're taking the time to do it on this Sunday morning. So we'll share, I'll share the brief history of our Savior's Lutheran Church and Liberty School's partnership. Now, how it all started, I wasn't sure. So I had to call and reach out to Pastor John Walk, who was here when it all began. And so Pastor Walk did his due diligence and provided me a three-page summary of how this partnership started. Now, his brief history is important for many of us who may have forgotten how this partnership started, or who were not here like myself when it got started. And so it doesn't hurt to have a little refresher on why we are in partnership with a school on the other side of the planet. According to Pastor Walk, it all began in 2013. Shortly after he returned from his trip to Ethiopia, Pastor John was so spiritually uplifted and renewed by what he felt and experienced in that trip to Africa that he realized that our Saviors, although at that time this congregation has engaged itself in very many and different local missions, Pastor Walk believed that this congregation needed to also live out Jesus' command in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, saying, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, long story short, Pastor Walk then was introduced to Roger Thoman, who is the director of Appleseed Ministries based in California. Now, Appleseed Ministry has a specific mission, and it's not in California, but it's throughout the world, particularly in Africa. Appleseed's Ministries is all about planting church house churches throughout Africa. And so when Pastor Walk expressed the desire for our saviors to be able to do ministry or partner ministry even to those to the ends of the earth, Roger Thauman introduced him to Pastor John Mabonga, who is the founder and the director of Liberty School. Pastor John Mabonga began conversing and talking, connecting with Pastor Walk, and shortly thereafter, Our Savior's Lutheran Church found a ministry that at the remotest ends of the earth in Kitale, Kenya. Now, truth be told, that Pastor John had other options, other places that he could have considered, but he confessed to me that he chose a part of the world that's relatively safe in Nairobi, Kenya, Kitale. At that time, he deemed as safe. I guess we could have been partnering with congregations in Kyrgyzstan or in some far-flung, war-torn regions, but instead, we were led to Kenya. Now, over the years, Our Savior's Lutheran Church have offered both our prayers and our financial supports and gifts to Liberty School, and we even sent members to visit the school. As a matter of fact, in October of 2016, a four-member team from Our Savior's Lutheran Church traveled and visited Liberty School and its students. In 2019, Pastor John Mabonga was invited and came and visited here at Our Savior's, not once but twice in 1 year. And now, the seven-member team returned, having done the same visit as the previous team did. Now, I did ask Pastor John, what was the goal? Well, what were the goals and the expectations of the partnership? Well, according to Pastor John Walk, that is, the expectations of the Liberty School and Our Savior's Lutheran Church was that Our Savior's would be a blessing with the finances with which Our Savior is blessed with. In other words, to be a blessing, as in the old biblical model of being able to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and care for the widows and the orphans who are in distress. Pastor John believed that was the goal, the expectation out of Our Savior's to Liberty School. And then on the flip side of that, it was Pastor Walk's hope and prayer that in this partnership, a fresh awakening and revitalization of the Holy Spirit be present here at Our Savior's. I'll read you a quote with Pastor John Walk said. He said, "Truly, I thought that if Our Savior's Lutheran Church could get a few people over to Kenya to rock babies and hug children, the fire of heaven would descend and we would be blessed." That was the goal and expectations of this partnership. Now, I want to move into what were the purposes of this trip that we just embarked a month ago. Well, there are three purposes for this trip. The first one is to see the developments of Liberty School and determine whether or not our financial supports over the years have made a difference, if it has impacted lives. That was one. The second is to be able to come back and report to this congregation our recommendations as to whether or not we should continue to support and be in partnership with Liberty School. And the third purpose of the trip was to be able to come back and share and invite and guide other LCMC congregations to join us in partnership with Liberty School. So those are the three purposes for our trips to Katale, Kenya. So now I'll have Hunter share about our journey from South Texas to East Africa.
Good morning, everyone. Okay, I would like to highlight for you our travel from South Texas to East Africa, Kenya. We already had our adventures 1 week before we left the United States. Delta did not even knew we existed, yet our flights were booked like 3 months ago before our trip. So between Daryl and Pastor La, on the phone every day trying to fix our itinerary, it was enough to give anxiety. And on top of that, the amount of the paperwork that we had to take care of, from malaria vaccines to COVID-19 to entry visa and so on. So do all changes and circumstances beyond our controls, our 7-person team was divided into 2 groups. And boarded 2 separate flights out of Houston on the afternoon of Tuesday, June 21st. The following morning, Wednesday 22nd, we met in Paris. France, literally, we met in Paris. The prices had 4 hours layover wandering the airport. And we only had a chance, Deborah and I, to use the restroom in Paris airport. We boarded the same flight to Nairobi, the capital of Kenya, thank goodness. We arrived in Nairobi safely that evening. A driver picked us up and drove us to our hotel by the airport. We were all tired, ready for nice warm showers and sleep. We already had about 22 hours of flight or so. The next day, first day, June 23rd, we got up early again and checked back to the airport for our early afternoon flight to Eldoret, Kenya, the closest airport to Kitale. When we landed, Pastor John Mubanga met us with one of his sons, Albert, and his daughter, Faith. He had 2 9-passenger minivans waiting for us, one for us, our group, and the other for our luggages. We're talking about American luggages here. For one van. After a couple of hours on Kenya's route and highways, we arrived in Kitale, a city of over 500,000 populations, and probably with the same number of motorcycles as there are people. I mean, a lot of motorcycles. I am not kidding. Our first stop upon arriving in Kitale was a small shop clothing store owned by a member of Pastor John's congregation. Pastor John told us to pick a material of our choice. The owner had each of us measured for the outfit. As you can see, we're all wearing it today. 2 days, they made all of these outfits for us. These were gifts to welcome us to Kenya, and we were told that the seamstress will have them ready for us to wear to church that Sunday, which we did. After all of the measurements were taken, Pastor John took us to lunch at a local restaurant where most of us enjoyed one of the local favorites, which is samosa. It's kind of salty. The East African version of empanadas. Over lunch, Pastor John told us the plan and the itinerary for our stay and visit in Kitale. When our lunch was over, We were dropped off at a Karibuni Lodge, where we stayed for the next 5 nights. It was not what we expected. Definitely, it was not Hilton or Comfort Inn Hotel, but they had the good food. The next morning, Friday, June 24th, Pastor John came and picked us up and drove us to the town of Bikeke, which is a suburb of Kitale, where Liberty School is located. While we were there, Pastor John gave us the freedom to visit and play with the students. Also, we looked around the school, talked, and visited with the teachers and the staff of Liberty School. Saturday morning, 25th, we went to visit 10 households, brought gifts and mainly food and medicines. The whole experience was a lot to digest and to take in. It was a lot. It makes you appreciate the little things you have. Monday morning, the group had meeting with the board members of the Liberty School, listen of all of the things going on, project, and their wish list. And during this whole trip, it was literally a mission trip. We woke up early every day. I mean, early every day, 5:30, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, we already had our breakfast. And on the road every day with busy, full schedules. At the end, it was all worth it. And I turn the mic to Deborah.
Liberty School, what an experience. Really makes me appreciate all that we have and really made my teacher heart go out to all of the teachers there. Being a teacher here, we struggle to meet all of the needs of our diverse students, making sure academics, structure, discipline, emotional and social needs, love, and any other thing our student might need is met. That is all being done in a classroom with one and normally 20 to 22 students, sometimes 24, and that is a challenge. When we arrived at Liberty School and visited the classrooms, their numbers simply shocked me. But before I go into that, let me share with you a little of my experience with the students before we get to the classrooms. When we arrived at the school, the students put on performances for us. Each grade level sang a song, recited a Bible verse, danced, or performed a skit. It was all very entertaining, and you could tell that they had taken the time to be really prepared for our arrival. After the students' performance, we passed out toothbrushes, toothpaste, and pens that we had brought with us. As we passed them out, each child was so very polite, thanking us. Not one student complained about the color that he or she received. I know if we had done that here, sadly, we would have heard, "I wanted blue," or "I want pink," or there would have been tears. These students just graciously took what they were given and never complained a bit. Once we were done passing out gifts, we just mingled around with the students. At first, we were all a little shy, I think, adults and students, not really sure how to interact with each other. But as most kids are, that didn't last long. They were all very intrigued to see, speak with, touch, just be near us. So as the men went off, not sure what they were up to, Hanta, Lisa, and I were interacting with the children. First, we were just talking to them. Then we started singing a few Sunday school songs with them. Then they sang one for us. As we interacted with them, they got closer and closer, just wanting to be near us. Finally, it got rather warm, surrounded by so many students, that we broke into groups. I asked them where they were supposed to be, and they said class. So I told them, okay, let's go. They all wanted me to come to their classroom and started dragging me all over. I told them no worries, I would go to all the rooms. As we entered each classroom, they were so excited, showing me things they had made, where they sat, everything. They were excited to have me go with them and wanted me to go everywhere, but that's children. They just love to interact with people, and especially new people. I also took pictures of the different things in the rooms and asked them if I could take their pictures. Again, they went crazy. They wanted their pictures taken and wanted to take selfies with me. Typical kids. I finally had to tell them I had to get back to my group. That is where we started taking the tour, started touring the classrooms officially. As the teacher spoke to us and told us how many students they had in each class, I was just in shock, with 20 to 35 students in each class. To me, that is just unreasonable, although they are awesome and make it work. The classrooms were so different: wooden benches and desks, no bright colors, one textbook per 10 kids, unreal, only chalkboards to write on to present material. Although the classrooms lacked the materials and resources to properly teach the students were still respectful and ready to learn from the samples hanging on the walls and the information that was presented to us at the beginning. The students were still learning. This experience was absolutely amazing. Although they do not have the things we have, they persevere and get the job done. Hopefully, though, with our help, we have and will continue to make it a little easier for them to touch the lives of all those wonderful children. Now, Jason.
Oh, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be talking about the kids while I was there. I was very popular with them. They really liked me. I didn't so much show up in soccer, but they had lots of fun playing, and I had just tons being there, hanging out with them and getting to see them and where they are in the situation that they're in. The kids, they were truly incredible, and they could make anything out of nothing, and it would be just the most to them. I saw soccer balls made out of torn grocery bags and banana tree leaves, and they were put together to kick it around and just have total fun with it. And they were so thankful for everything, because to the Catali kids, the little things are really, they're just huge. Even getting to take a high five or take a photo, it gave them the biggest smile, and it was contagious. And we all loved being around them, and we even caught them playing with our hair every once in a while, but that's okay, because sitting, you'd sit down, all of them would come around you, and you could take a big picture, and all of them would be the happiest people ever. And it was amazing getting to sit and eat with them and talk with them and learn about them and where they come from and the kids that we, as a church, support. And that was really good for all of us. And I'm very thankful that these kids are so grateful, because nowadays, especially here in America, kids are very, they expect a lot. They expect everything, and when they're not given it, they complain and they play the victim card. But these kids, they make the most out of what they get, and they make the most out of what they make, and it's truly incredible. And that's, all of them are so special to me because of this.
Good morning. Got to slide up there. First of all, it was a real honor to go and see and understand. We hear about Catali and the areas over there, and we talked to Pastor John when he visited us. But you don't really get a notion for what it is until your feet are there. And you smell and you feel the dirt, you know, in your hands. And then you understand a little more. Lots of challenges. Challenges infrastructure-wise. Government regulations. They seem to change on the fly sometimes. It was kind of interesting. Transportation issues. And then, of course, to what the school is going through. Infrastructure. Catali is a bigger city, with Bikiki being a suburb of that city. It's about 6 miles as a crow flies, or in Texas, as we say, about 17 minutes if you have a car or some form of transportation going around the long way. It is 45th out of 47 in the way of the poorest counties in Kenya. No indoor plumbing. We also noticed that in a lot of locations there was no refrigeration either. They pretty much eat fresh, fix it that day, eat it that day, and go from there. 40% unemployment rate. And it's not like a lot of people that we met don't want to work. It's just there's no jobs. 200% inflation. I know everyone here has felt the pinch when we go to the grocery store lately. But can you imagine 200%? a bag of rice that they used to pay, or beans they used to pay $20 for, now is 80, 60 to 80, depending on the day. Security, crime problems, and it's just because people are in a bad spot. Okay, on the left there, that's the Bikiki Medical Center. We didn't go in, but I don't know if I was, you know, hurting bad if I would make it in there. There was, if you find ambulance transportation, that would be in the big cities. It's not here. You know, they basically throw you in on the back of a motorcycle or something like that, or a cart, and drag you there. Local gang leader, as we were told by Pastor John, came out to visit Ryan, and I guess he's trying to recruit him there or something. But yeah, that was a good time. Not really in any fear of that happening. Ryan probably could have turned him into a pretzel if he needed to. Okay, the houses that we visited, a kitchen. Basically three bricks to hold up a pot or something flat to cook on, and a small fire below. Everything's wood-fired. In fact, at the place we were staying, the hot water was provided from 6 to 9 in the evenings, was a wood-fired boiler that they would crank up early, and actually the wood fire provided the hot water. Bedroom, one of the bedrooms we saw, the wood plank is elevated, and then the bed is in the back underneath the mosquito netting. But, you know, just a place to raise your head. Pastor John also explained to us, most families live on less than a dollar a day. I can't think of anyone here that lives on less than a dollar a day, or can't even like manage to get around for that. It'd be very, very difficult. Also, the families, go back, Gina. Families usually have a little shop or a stand in front of their house as they acquire goods or grow them. They will open a little shop to help provide a little extra income for the family. And they sell all kinds of things. They'll get a box of tea and they'll cut it up into individual tea bags or sugar or salt or whatever they have, and then sell those items off to provide extra income with the family. And that's to go along with growing their own food on the property. If there was a flat place on the ground, it had something to eat growing in it. What I was talking about earlier, inflation prices with the food, it's hit them bad because of the amount of people. We were able to buy some 50-pound bags of food that we actually took around to 10 houses, and people were in awe. It's customary that you leave a gift if you go visit someone's house, and that's why we did it. Kind of wish we could have given Pastor John more. He could have could have fed some more people while we were over there. Meals at Liberty School, no meat, vegetables, rice, beans, once a day. And then there is an evening meal. A lot of kids will hang out for the evening meal because they may not have anything to eat when they get home. Part of the infrastructure problem is they have to walk to school. And I think some of them are walking upwards of 6 miles one way a day to get there. 6 kilometers. Government regulations. You know, we think it's bad over here. Goodness gracious. They've got different curriculum requirements that are being passed down this year that they have to meet the mandate of. They're in the process of building 2 classrooms, and they have to be completed by, I believe, October. Daryl's going to talk about that some more in a minute. As part of the curriculum to actually have the students go to the next phase before they would transfer to university. It requires a science lab, and also they're requiring swimming and some form of athletics, which also leads to some other stuff with the actual compound they have there for Liberty School. They have to start arranging some stuff different. Some of the other regulations, problems they have. Preschool classrooms, 20 by 26. Juniors, 20 by 30. And they could have up to 45 learners in there. That's kind of tightly packed. some of the stuff we saw over there, even with the public school, it was really, really packed. You'd see them three or four to a desk and inside that tiny room. Primary school has to be built on 4 acres, and if it's not, then you have to acquire the land around you. And the playground measurements, 300 by 400. Again, if it's not like that, you have to meet that requirement. And all these are being just thrown at them. Fencing. They have to have a non-penetrable fence. In a lot of cases, we saw either barbed wire on the backside of the fence and or some kind of natural shrubbery that they're using as an actual fence to segregate the school from the outside. The front usually had some form of gate. Boarding schools have to have two different genders, and then washing facilities and bathroom facilities, which were also not quite to our standards, but even poor to the degree over there. Here they are building one of the classrooms. Again, as they get money, it's forwarded over there. And hopefully they will have this one completely done by the time it needs to be in October. And this is what money that we've already donated is being used for, to get this project up so they will not close the school. Again, not meeting some of these government requirements would require them to close the school. Classrooms. Yeah, just like I said, 3 students per desk. That's kind of typical right there. 1 book per desk. School supplies are limited. Playground area, again, not quite big enough. Old dorm area. 3 kids to a cot, the ones that stay there. Some stay there all the time. Restroom facilities. On the grounds, they want to improve these again, but that's what the kids are dealing with. Transportation, how they get to and from school. Everybody walks everywhere, rain or not. No transportation for the kids for school. There's a school that has a swimming pool nearby, but they would require a bus or some kind of transportation to get the kids from the school to the aquatic facility. And again, swimming is one of the curriculum requirements that they've added this year. School supplies, again, limited. The papers in the rack there, those are worksheets and other things used for learning that are just recycled. Kids use them, erase the answers or whatever, and then put them back and really take care of their stuff
as best they can. Again, it just has to be recycled. Out of the annual, there's a $200 annual
what the kids would pay to go there. A lot of the kids can't pay. So out of that amount of money, they're still pulling from even teacher salaries. Sometimes the teachers don't get paid. And that money is funneled to help the operation of the school itself. You're thinking to yourself, well, why don't we just get a bunch of stuff together and send it over there? It's really, really cost prohibitive. The government, piracy, fees, and transfer, just trying to get a simple box over there. And that's if it even gets there
with the school supplies.
And now for good news.